The Gambling Files Podcast, the podcast with zero fucks to give. Hello, you are joining the Gambling Files Podcast, the podcast that gives you a big hug and steals your wallet while we're doing it. I'm John Bruford. I'm your co-host, joined by my co-host, Fintan Costello.
Hello, John.
Hello, Fintan. I was just, if you can hear bubbling, it's the sound of my piss boiling in my bladder. I was just thinking about things that really make me angry.
Go on. What makes you angry, John?
There's two things piss me off above almost anything else. One is when people say really fucking stupid things like, you know, and I have heard this with my own ears and I have taken people to task on this. When you're seeing the reporting about some kind of sexual assault, okay, and people say they were asking for it.
Oh, yeah, that's horrific. Absolutely horrific.
It blows my fucking mind. It doesn't matter how somebody's dressed. You can still keep it in your pants. You can still make a good choice.
But there's also two parts to that. So A, that one, and that is horrific and happens way too much. But then there's also the gender thing. So if it's a man and a woman, it's like a man raping a woman is rape. But then let's say if it's a older man and an underage girl, it's rape. But if it's an older woman and a underage boy, it's sexual assault.
Interesting. One of the things that has long bothered me. I won't give you the specifics of the story, but I was walking behind a relative who was about 14, very tall. And she walked around a corner before me and I heard two guys comment on the opposite side of the street, and I walked out behind them and they just looked at me and went, sorry.
Yeah.
And I just said, don't apologize to me, but you do appreciate she's 14, right? You know what that makes you, don't you? Here's what I don't get, right? So the classic example here is the Britney Spears video for, was it Oops, I Did It Again?
Oh, yeah.
Where she's in a school uniform.
Mm-hmm.
People watch that and they're like, right? And yet they don't see a connection between the sexualization of somebody in a school uniform and the sexualization of children.
Yeah, it's
like, not a big fucking jump, is it?
It's like beauty pageants for kids.
We got serious really quickly today.
We did. It's like beauty pageants for kids. It's fucking horrific.
Oh, that's just so, so wrong. But what's the other thing that pisses me off? There was something else that really annoyed me. Oh, I can't think what it was now. It was gold as well. It was absolute gold.
Was it what we were talking about before we hit record?
Oh, yeah, maybe. What were we talking about before we hit record?
I think you were just about to go on about, because I was talking about getting lucky.
Oh, yeah. It's when people assume that poverty is about not working hard enough.
Oh, that's...
Oh, my Christ. I've never seen anybody work the way my mum worked, right? My dad lost his job when I was quite young. I was made redundant from a company called Prestige, which was in Derby. They used to make stainless steelware, you know, kitchenware, pans, pots, that kind of thing. And I'd have been about, God, I don't know, five, something like that.
Hmm.
And, you know, this was the 1970s, late 70s. And the UK wasn't in a great state. There was a lot of problems. Not least Margaret Thatcher being in power. But he was out of work for a long, long time. And I think, you know, looking back now as an adult, I think it probably dented his self-perception massively.
Of course. Yeah.
His confidence, it's even emasculated him to an extent.
Yeah, sure.
And Mum, I don't think ever gave him any shit about it, because redundancy is just one of those things and it's shit.
Yeah, there's literally nothing you can do about it. Like, it's just, yeah.
She just did every bit of work she could get. She was out from morning until night every day and still looked after all of us because, you know, dad didn't step up.
Mm.
And I got my work ethic from Mum, very, very much so, to the extent where I've burned out twice. Curse you, woman. But it's, you know, like we grew up poor. And it's a tradition I maintain to this day. But the point is that you know, I've never seen anybody work the way my mum did. And we still had absolutely fuck all. And she was an intelligent, hardworking person who was born with no fucking opportunities and grew up and had no opportunities. She worked hard all her life, and, you know.
But it's so true, though. Like, it's, you know, you get all these hustle culture wankers, and everybody works hard. Like, it's the tiny minority that don't work hard. Like, everybody's just working. Like, everybody's job is difficult. It doesn't matter what your job is. Everybody's job's hard. And then there's the physical aspect. Like, so my dad was construction, and like, the physical toll something like construction takes on somebody. It's fine when you're in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, you can probably get away with it. But once you start hitting 50, 60, like, the guys on the building sites were just destroyed.
I got some friends who are scaffolders, and like, Jesus Christ.
It just the physical toll. See them walking
now and they're like.
Yeah, it's just nonstop.
But I bet scaffolders in Asia are fine because they use bamboo.
Yeah, but have you seen how big the buildings are, mate? Balls of steel. Like, if you're doing those massive, like, they do the massive skyscrapers in bamboo. Like, it is just terrifying. But yeah, like, and I think, like, luck plays such a part. And it's either, you know, the lottery of birth, of, you know, you get born into the royal family and you get your Netflix series complaining about how hard life is. Or you don't, and everything in between. So it is that kind of luck of just, you know, work hard, right place, right time.
You get people who actually believe that they are self-made. I can't think of anybody that is actually self-made.
There's an amazing speech by Arnold Schwarzenegger about that. And he's doing like one of those commencement speeches. And he talks about, actually, his biography, if you haven't read it, is actually great. He skips over a couple of bits. And he, you know, whatever.
All that sex he had with people that weren't his wife.
He brought up the maid, because obviously she had a kid. And that caused the divorce. But yeah, he definitely, yeah, like, skipped over. It was very much in the Kennedy tradition, I think. But he had this commencement speech about being self-made, and he was saying he's not self-made. And then he just kind of listed like all of the things that happened and all of the people who helped him become who he became and achieve what he achieved. And I think that is really important. And there's, you know, it's easy to rewrite history of, oh, I did this and this was me and this was all me, and without me this wouldn't have happened. But it's typically not that. There's typically a team.
It's not, but it does give me an excuse to talk about an old Schwarzenegger film.
Go on, which one?
That is
Conan the Barbarian.
It's no older than that. I mean, this
Conan in New York was the one before that, wasn't it? Or something?
Fenton, you're clutching at straws here. You're thinking of Hercules in New York, by the way.
That's it. That's the one.
No, he made a movie with Kirk Douglas and Anne Margaret called Cactus Jack.
Okay.
And the closest thing I can relate it to is it's like a live-action Roadrunner cartoon.
Fair enough.
And he plays a character, if I remember correctly, called Handsome Stranger.
Instead of mysterious stranger. Nice. The 80s were a different time.
It is completely bonkers. But it's really, really good. It's one of those movies that when I was growing up, if you ever saw that on the TV listings, you were like, and everybody in the family just stops what they're doing, apart from mum, who was obviously working very hard. And it was an event movie for us, really.
Nice.
But, you know, it's not the easiest movie to find these days. I'm just trying to look it up on... I'm trying to find it on... this is interesting. It's not in Arnold Schwarzenegger's filmography. Where is it? There it is. So it's called The Villain in some places.
Okay.
But in the UK and Australia, it was Cactus Jack. It's got a great cast. Struther Martin, Jack Elam. Gotta love anything with Jack Elam's worth watching just for Jack Elam. But but anyway, I'm getting slightly distracted here.
You are.
So, who's on the episode?
I'm not sure which episode we're doing the intro for.
I think we're doing, I think we're putting Phil out first.
We're putting Phil out first.
Yeah. Phil okay. Pearson.
Phil Pearson of whitelabelcasinos.com. And you probably more likely know him as the most interesting man on LinkedIn. Wow. I think we can say that.
It's a hell of a title.
It's a great title. It's a great title. And he's earned it, in fairness. Like, his body of work speaks for itself.
Praise indeed. But is he interesting to talk to?
To be honest with you, I felt like there was a bit of a bromance between you and Phil. There was a connection. Felt like there was a connection. Felt like he's understood each other.
Well, you had great technical difficulties.
I did have technical difficulties, which didn't help.
So you're only present for half of the conversation.
And I was sitting there crying, listening to the two of you. I felt so left out. But I definitely feel like there was a Phil, John, just, you know, the way like two people just complete each other. And I kind of felt like he's could finish each other's jokes.
Fenton, I am already complete.
There was a lot going. There was I don't want to say sexual tension, but there was definitely there was electric in the air between the two of you. So I think I could see Phil becoming a regular guest.
Well, so you say,
or if you ever sack me, I would definitely see Phil as a new co-host. I think it'd be work very well.
Hey, you know, we've got a new sponsor.
Do we?
Yeah, they're coming on next week.
Fantastic.
They have a specialist episode type.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Which I think we're recording the first one on Monday.
Brilliant.
I know, right?
Oh, yeah, I see it in the diary.
Yeah.
Excellent.
That's exciting.
It is.
I've still got to sell my bike, but let's see how my bike is getting on. I did check it, I think, in the episode. But we're recording this a day after the episode.
You had three viewers yesterday for your feet pictures, whatever you were saying.
No, I had four watchers. 23 hours left.
Yeah, it's all about the last 20 minutes, right?
Nobody ever comes. Maybe I need to relist it in an evening and instead of the middle of the day. I don't fucking know. I'd just like somebody to buy it so I can definitely pay next month's rent. Not worried.
But have you done a good description? Have you done a good kind of like, is your ad copy on point? Is it?
Well, Fenton, I'm a something of a master at this because I get paid to work with words, I'll have you know. So let's have a look, shall we?
Go on.
It says, Oh, fuck. Yeah, I see what you mean. Specialized LA Elite road bike, never been ridden, had an accident shortly after buying, which means it's been collecting dust in the garage for months. Gutted to be selling. It's beautiful. Unsure of wheel size, but they do reach the ground. Also has clippy-in pedals attached.
That's it? That's your description?
Pretty much, yeah.
You haven't put the group set on, types of brakes.
It's on the pictures.
Mate, it's in
the pictures and in the description, I think. Because you can choose those bits, can't you?
Is it, though? Have you actually done that, though?
Thing is, if you know what it is and you know when it was bought, then you know those things. Because if you're in the market for that kind of bike, then you're in the market for that kind of bike.
Doesn't matter. You've got to give it a bit of
resonance. Also, I don't know that information. I don't know the fucking wheel size.
Is it? But you just get a tape measure. Like, what? Have you not, like, bought a tire for this bike?
I haven't ridden the fucking thing.
But, like, is it a Shimano group set? Is it Shimano brakes?
I can't remember. I'd have to go and actually look at it.
Yeah, like, just putting Shimano on there, if it's actually Shimano, it'll just get you more interest. And it'll also, but if people are searching, like, bike with Shimano brakes or something on eBay or wherever you're selling
it. Yeah, but they'll be searching specialized LA, won't they?
No, they won't.
Yeah.
That might be one thing, but they'll also be, mate, you've shot yourself in the foot there. I'm very disappointed. You have.
I've got four watches.
Yeah, but you want 40. You want auction intensity. That's what it's all about. It's all about auction intensity.
Maybe. I guess, you know, some people auction harder than others, and when they auction harder, they get more success.
You got to create your luck.
Is that what you did with Bonus Finder?
You create my luck. Absolutely.
And you succeeded.
We got lucky.
Are you... actually, do you know what? I have been thinking about this. America got something really right, and I've only just realized that the UK, we're wrong.
Go on.
The use of the term pants, meaning trousers.
Mm-hmm.
They're correct, and British being like, no, it's trousers. We're wrong. And do you know what finally the light bulb moment was for me?
Go on.
We call undercrackers underpants because you wear them under pants.
Yeah.
It was a big day for me yesterday.
That's clearly really busy in...
Well, do you know what? Even while I'm working, my brain's still pinballing, unfortunately.
For somebody that's sober, it's amazing where you go.
Really is. But it was a absolute, honestly, right? Before I quit drinking, I was nervous about it. Because I looked at my life and I thought, well, I have no idea what's there without alcohol. You know, I have no idea. I've got a sneaking suspicion I'm going to be a really boring bastard. And then I learned that it's not alcohol that makes me do stupid things or say stupid things. It's all within me. Hallelujah.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's lucky that, because otherwise this podcast would be really boring. But as we like to say on the Gambling Files podcast, Vinton...
I'm not saying it. I think you've taken something out of context and you've read too much into it.
More waffle, less content.
I think that's it's up there when I questioned your immune system and it just struck a chord that just stuck. Too much. It was too much headspace dedicated to that.
You don't diss a man's immune system, Vinton.
Clearly I've learned that lesson. But yeah, it's
I can't believe you just reminded me of that.
I know.
If I could slap you down this screen.
You would?
I probably would.
Is that what's going to happen if we ever happen to meet? You're just going to instantly lay me out.
Yeah, but I'll do it in the most offensive way that I can. I'll do it in the style of Will Smith, that massively overdramatic. I mean, it was just one of the most pathetic movements I've ever seen in the history of things being recorded on Chris Rock. That massive, huge, sweeping gesture. It was just...
I read a thing about that, and apparently it's a really common Scientology tactic.
What, a huge, great big slap like that?
Yeah. And it's all part of their, like, trying to shock you out of your thing and part of it. Because he's a big Scientologist.
He's a big twat.
Well, you know, in fairness to Chris Rock, he took the slap.
He did, and he hasn't said a word about it.
Best thing to do, just say nothing. Let everybody else joke about it and just say, just take the high ground and just say nothing. He's actually, I think Chris has actually done exactly what you should do in that situation.
I do have a lot of time for Chris Rock, and I don't have a huge amount of time for many comedians since Bill Hicks died. But I do like Chris Rock quite a lot.
Yeah.
But the thing, I just, when I saw it, and it, you know, it rocked the world, fucking dull. There was quite a lot more going on that day. But what was particularly annoying about it is the amount of training that he did to portray Muhammad Ali. You know, he did a lot of boxing training, which is, boxers are beasts.
Yeah, but this is what I'm saying. I think a lot of it was very calculated, because if he'd have punched him, like properly punched him, and like, you know, Will Smith's a fit guy, right?
Big fella, yeah.
He'd have seriously hurt him, and it'd be lawsuits, criminal charges, etc. The slap, I think, was actually very calculated.
It would have probably happened earlier, you think?
And I think could have just been a PR thing that went horribly wrong, to be honest with you. But anyway. I don't really care about it. It's
that, and yet we're talking about it.
I know, it's really annoying. It's the same with like Prince Harry's new book. Like, I feel like there's just so much on the internet I wouldn't even need to buy it. I've read all the headlines, and you know.
Yeah, I think some of the points he makes about the press are absolutely bang on.
Oh, look, I watched the documentary with my wife, and like, as a, you know, as a husband and a father, of course he wants to protect his family. You can totally appreciate that. And I think, yeah, the press, massively intrusive, it's horrible, everything with that. But then also, like, you know, there's the flip side of that coin of nice castle, mate, and
yeah,
everything that goes with that. So like, I can get his frustrations and wanting to protect his family. Like, I could completely appreciate that. I would have done the exact same thing. And you know, the getting his side of the story out, he probably never felt heard, given he's so much in the press. Like, it'll work extremely well in America. Him and the missus can carve out a lovely little business in America.
That being heard thing is huge, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, the best takedown of the UK press that I have heard in recent years was actually by Raheem Sterling, the now Chelsea player, but it was when he was at Manchester City. And he's a very well-rewarded athlete. He's a very, very good player. Very an unusually intelligent footballer. I mean, on the pitch, he's an unusually intelligent player. But he highlighted something in the British press that when he bought a house for his mum, he was pulled up for being flash and all of this shit.
Oh, the racism is ridiculous.
When Phil Foden did the same thing for his mum, and you read the upshot, you know about Phil Foden's mum.
Yep.
He was being a great lad, and look at what he's done for his mum.
But they did the same. Like, there's loads of those compared. Like, even with the Harry stuff. So they did Meghan versus, what's her name, Kate? Is that the, anyway?
Yeah.
Whatever. And like, they're both eating avocados, and the really negative Meghan headline versus the really positive Kate headline. And like, there was like a ton of these examples of like the exact same situation and how each of them gets treated. And there is absolutely like a racist thing around that. And you see it with the footballers and stuff as well. And you know, like, that's really sad in 2023 that the national press is racist.
It is. I've told you about when I was accused of racism, haven't I?
This story I haven't heard.
I was accused of racism, and because in the UK that is a hate crime, the police absolutely jump on it. And it was in Ludlow, my hometown, and I'd had issues with a guy for several years, and I knew that he had mental health problems. They were pretty friggin' obvious. And so I never once rose to the bait.
Mm.
Not once. And he was really pushing and trying to needle me and trying to get a reaction out of me. He was trying to get a violent reaction out of me. Mm. And I'm not a violent person, but at the time I was quite large. And yeah, it would have probably been quite interesting if it had actually happened. I say interesting, I mean one-sided. And the one day he said something to me, pretended he wasn't saying it to me, and my kids were outside the shop that I was in with their granddad, and I lost my shit, and I just told him to fucking do one. And I spelled out what the consequences would be if he ever bothered my kids. And then, interestingly, I had to go to South Africa for a work trip, and I was in Cape Town, and they have this beautiful square where they have these really, really gorgeous statues of Nobel Prize winners, South African Nobel Prize winners. And it was really fascinating. As well, I was there, I was talking to some local folks, and they were explaining about laws that were passed because the historic racism is still so culturally endemic that they have to pass laws just for equal opportunities in employment.
Hmm.
And, you know, it's stunning that that's still the case. And I got back to the UK, and the police knocked on my office door. And this guy lived really close to my office, and he could see through my office window. I ended up moving my desk so that there was no eye contact. There was nothing. There was nothing to aggravate this guy, because this, you know, fuck this guy. But copper comes, knocks on the door, and he says, "Look, we need you to come down and do an interview. It's about such and such." I'm like, "Okay." And I went down, and I gave a very frank interview, and I admitted what I had done and what I had said.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, there's a couple of people you could talk to who were there in the shop. And the policeman doing the interview said to me, he said, "I just need to make it clear during the interview that the complainant acknowledges that you didn't say or do anything racist, but he feels that you were motivated by racism."
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, just to clarify then, I didn't do or say anything racist. And this guy admits that, but I'm still in the fucking police station. And the cop was like, "Yeah, basically." So I said, "Well, let me just make it clear for the record, because obviously this interview is being recorded. I didn't do what I did for reasons of race. I did it because I think the guy is a massive wanker." Except I didn't use the word wanker. shortly afterwards, we concluded the interview. And actually, a few months after that, a guy threatened to kill me.
That's
in the fucking supermarket. So I did what any sane human being would do. I stopped and I said really loudly, "What? You're going to kill me?" And amazingly, I'm alive to tell the tale.
It was an interesting town, mate.
Well, the thing is, it's in South Shropshire, and it's a very agricultural area, and it is not culturally diverse. I mean, I love the area, but I've lived all over the UK, and I've been all over the world. I mean, I don't live there because it's particularly white. I live there because I grew up there, and I love the area, and I like hills and trees.
Mm.
But it is staggeringly not diverse. And, you know, it might be this guy did experience racism.
But I think
he probably experienced more was people responding to him being a complete twat.
Look, I'm not qualified as a middle-aged white guy to talk about race, I suppose.
But he knew that the police would have to investigate it.
Yeah.
Because of the nature of the crime. And I where'd you go, you know? It was so frustrating. Having been in a country where I met a stack of really lovely people who have to have the law changed to get a crack at getting a job, to come back and see that card played by a complainant who had to admit that there was no racism involved in the incident at all.
Hmm.
It blew my mind. I was disappointed. I was disappointed in the human fucking race, frankly.
Yeah,
I really, really was.
And particularly when you get accused in the wrong like that as well, it's very, it's incredibly frustrating, right?
Yeah, and you know, you go back over your actions and you question them. Did I do or say anything? I mean, I'm not racist in the slightest.
Mm.
I'm anti-twat. But I'm not, you know, those two things aren't connected.
No.
But anyway, yeah, I guess that's my big confession. I got a police interview after an accusation of racism.
It's a big
good
one.
Times.
It's a big one.
I think my way on the podcast will change when I can afford to restart therapy.
I'm just waiting for somebody like to chop up the audio and have you saying awful stuff now.
Yeah, like a cassette boy remix.
I'm not racist, but that's all you need, right?
Oh, don't. We have some very intelligent listeners, and I don't want them getting ideas.
It's fine. They understand. They understand.
But anyway. On to Phil Pearson, CEO of WhiteLabelCasinos.com, Malta's top banana importers. Probably only guest this episode, we are joined by none other than the big double P, Phil Pearson, CEO, WhiteLabelCasinos.com, a well-known banana importer-exporter on the fair island of Malta. Phil, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's all right. If you heard some strange creaking and groaning in the background there, that was my dog.
I thought it was me. I thought that was my attitude problem.
Phil.
Sorry.
You know, this is the one podcast where nobody will ever say you've got an attitude problem.
Winner.
So, Phil, you're actually Welsh, it turns out.
I am. I'm from Colwyn Bay in North Wales.
And how's that going?
8 years ago. It's going really well. I generally only hire Welsh people at the company now.
No,
I have like a 90% hit rate with that.
Gareth Bale's going to be looking for something to do.
Golf. He's probably going to join LIV or something.
What's that?
The Saudi Arabian Golf Tour. The one that's going up against the PGA.
Yeah.
Or he's just going to live off his $700 million.
Yeah, or that. I mean, I know which one I would do.
I saw him in the World Cup. I went to Qatar to watch Wales in the World Cup because it's like the only time we've ever qualified. I was sat right there when he scored a penalty.
Oh, fast.
It's the only goal we scored, but we'll take it.
Yeah, I was expecting a bit more.
Anything
really turn up.
Good.
But, you know, everybody was talking about that group and thinking it's a foregone conclusion to get out of the group. And I was looking at that group and thinking, I don't think England were going to get out of the group. I really didn't. I expected a lot more from the US. I expected a lot more from Wales. But Iran were fabulous.
Not to be at the game. The fans are very... I'm going to go with boisterous, but I could use far less friendly language.
Yeah, but it's the tribal nature of football, isn't it?
I've just never been insulted for supporting a football team at a neutral event before.
You should try wearing an England shirt at one, and it'll follow pretty fast.
Wear an England shirt in Wales or Ireland, you'll be fine.
Yeah, we see the Welsh town I'm in is right on the border, bordering North Herefordshire. and right by South Shropshire. So it's kind of, parts of the town are actually in England, I believe. The best parts.
Why?
I'm not going there. I'm disappointed.
I'll get my coat. Sorry, Phil.
Too close. If it's not a 30-minute drive to the border, it's not Wales.
Sorry. So tell whitelabelcasinos.com.
Yep.
What'd you do?
I mean, we went with a name that was simple to understand. So we've gone with the fact that we make white label casinos.
Uh-huh.
We will sell them reasonably to not anyone who wants one, but as long as they're not dicks, we'll sell them a white label casino. They can operate on our license, and we will build, maintain, and run the casino for them.
That's very generous of you. Have you got any customers we would have heard of?
There's probably a few MGA casinos you'd have
heard of. Are you allowed to name any of them?
Yeah. I mean, it's all under the same license. So there's scatters.com, rentcasino.com. They're probably two of the bigger ones. Got a few new ones coming up. Casinonight.com is quite a sexy looking casino. We've got about 38 clients, I think.
Wow.
We've been going for a while, but it was under a different name, but we split the company in two, and this is now kind of my, I'd say my baby, as the people would call it, but it's my thing.
What does the other part of the company do?
They build casino platforms and game aggregation and turnkey platform casino solutions called iGaming Platform. Again, really, really well thought out names to these companies.
Yeah, keep it simple. I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan because I think sometimes companies, they worry too much about, you know, will the domain be available? We need to call ourselves something unique, as opposed to thinking, let's really say what we do and make this really simple.
Yeah, I mean, the first time I went to Apple, I was honestly looking for Granny Smith. So,
well, if you compare like whitelabelcasinos.com to what was the scientific games? Light and Magic? Game Slots and Magic? What do they call
Light and Wonder.
Light and
Industrial
Wonder,
Light and Gambling.
Light and Wonder, Industrial Light and Gambling. That's a film FX production company.
It's certainly
Spielberg is furious.
Yeah.
No, it's Lucas, that one.
Oh, Lucas, sorry. It's on the ranch.
It's all right. Well, it was. I don't think it is anymore. I was just sitting working the other day, you know, as I do, because I'm a very busy executive type. But I'm not what Fintan is. Fintan is a busy and important executive type. So when Fintan messages me, I tend to drop everything I'm doing and read it because it's going to be important. And this message came through, yo, look at this. And he was all excited about a post that you put on LinkedIn.
Okay.
About something. Fintan, perhaps you could take up the baton.
So I get quite excited about Phil's post on LinkedIn anyway, in general, apart from this one.
Seven of you.
Because without being a fanboy, I think you're probably the most entertaining LinkedIn person in the gambling industry. There's a lot of bullshit on LinkedIn. There's a lot of waffle. There's a lot of fucking virtue signaling. And then there's your stuff, which I just love. And I like to think that this podcast is the podcast equivalent of your LinkedIn posts. That's kind of how I view things. So big fan for a long time, and I was delighted for an excuse to finally chat with you. You did your 2023 predictions, and I love a good prediction.
And he does.
I fucking love a prediction. And I read through your list and I kind of went, oh, they're good ones. And then there's loads to talk about.
Sure.
Can we start with number one?
We can, but you're going to have to remind me what I wrote, because I can bring it up, but I don't want to type on a podcast.
I just bring out the magic. I don't fucking remember what I say.
Yeah. I have someone write them for me secretly.
I hope so.
Somebody
hope
that he so. Hires from LinkedInPost.com.
Yeah, I hope so. I really hope so.
No, I wrote them. I'm just trying to remember what I wrote. I'm bringing it up.
So
I remember some of them, but I don't know the order.
Let me put the. Oh, here. I was going to read it actually. I'll put the link in the chat.
Yes. Oh, I'm here now. I've got it.
You got it?
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I did start off with that NFTs are a tax scam last year for 2022. I'm 100% right.
Did you see that? I saw a Guardian article the other day. Somebody in the UK has set up a website where they will buy your NFT for 1 cent so that you can bank the loss and write off the value.
I mean, great idea.
Yeah. It was just like, oh, that's actually genius. Because then you're like, well, fuck it. We'll launch one. We'll buy it for $1. And just because maybe all you need is one of them to click. And, you know, so somebody's getting rid of a Bored Ape or something by mistake.
I was going to go with that generalized monkey term. I forgot it was a Bored Ape.
Or badly drawn apes, as I like to call them. I'm sure that was a band, wasn't it? I know, badly drawn.
Close.
We came from the same species. So, pretty much. So your first one was, a market will finally regulate streaming and stop fake money streaming. Or worst case, at least try. I know you've talked a lot about streaming and fake money streaming.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts around this? Like what's actually happening with this?
I mean, what's actually happening is not a lot. I mean, regulators by kind of default are generally really, really lazy when it comes to anything that isn't written down by someone else. So like one country will copy another country, they'll get politicians involved, they won't know an absolute fucking clue about gambling. Mm. And they'll just write whatever everyone else has done, but make it a bit more strict or tax it a bit higher. But I think the UK is going to be trying to do something different, and Curaçao are coming out with something half decent. So hopefully what I'm thinking is the UK might actually step up themselves and put some kind of streaming regulation in place to do with crypto and or fake money streaming by the end of 2023. It's not inside information, but I believe they're looking at it.
But if you're
if you're
an offshore casino using fake money streamers, do you really care if the UK regulates that?
Yeah, because anyone that actively takes viewers from the UK will be pushing them to a certain casino or a certain affiliate deal. So obviously they won't be allowed to do that, which means, I mean, the dream here is that Twitch basically regulates itself a little bit, or Kick or whatever people are watching on now. That's never going to happen, but at least someone trying to change it could invoke other places trying to change it as well. Like one good deed then turns into several. Again, I kind of went with at least try, because someone will try, but if it works, basically requires some kind of regulation of the internet. And that is going to be a bit difficult, because otherwise we'd probably only have one good iGaming podcast. Yours, obviously.
Of course. So I suppose one way to do it then is like, you can't, like if you've got a UK license, you can't, I suppose you've just got to do it country by country, right? So it's got to be a country level marketing restriction, effectively.
Yeah. So they won't have if any you're a UK license,
yeah, you can't use that the same way they'd have to regulate affiliate activity anyway, or the disclaimer text, or whatever.
Exactly. I mean, you can regulate affiliate activity a bit. You can control language, kind of text, what kind of promotions are giving out. But I mean, Sweden do a decent job of that.
Look, I'm a big fan of licensing affiliates. I think every country should regulate and license affiliates. But that's a different story. Yeah, well, that's the thing. I think it could be quite like, if you look at New Jersey, where you just have to register just so they know who you are and you're on a register. Mm-hmm. So at least you can kind of go, okay, this dodgy affiliate promoting non-GameStop casinos, who is it? Or whatever. And then you've got a chance of kind of figuring out who it is to send the right scary letters to.
No, it's good. I maybe change the name of it, because anytime anyone says to me I'm on a register, generally doesn't kind of ring the same way as what they're trying to have for.
You don't put it on your dating profile.
Yeah, I'm on the register.
In multiple registers in multiple countries.
I'm on the New Jersey Prolific. I had a good time in Hoboken.
Me and Tony. The two iGaming shows will fold due to be wildly overpopulated. Are we reaching peak gambling conferences?
Hang on, God, isn't overpopulated a good thing for an expo?
No, overpopulated with the number of expos, probably not the amount of people attending.
Yeah, but as long as people are going, then people will pay to, you know what I mean? It's like, you've got to have ones that, because that, if you've got the foot traffic, then the exhibitors are often reasonably happy.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, I went to G2E Singapore, and there were, and I'm not going to exaggerate, no more than 20 stands. Two of them were the size of half decent, and the other 18 were those little pop-up things in the corner. There was at best one or two people working at each stand. I only knew one of them, which is a payment provider. And you did the whole show in 45 minutes. There was no conferences, speaking, anything. It was shockingly bad.
Which is a real shame, because I've been saying for a long, long time, G2E Asia should move to Singapore, simply because Macau is a pain in the ass to get to.
Oh, it is.
And good boat Singapore, ride, but Singapore is a piece of piss to get to for everybody in Asia.
True, but nobody came. And this was at the Marina Bay Sands, the hotel with the boat on the roof of it or whatever it is. That hotel was amazing. Yeah. And the actual experience was really good. But the show itself, I mean, first of all, you couldn't really find it because it wasn't signposted properly. And then I think everyone's just got lost in Singapore. You've just got a load of random white people walking around Singapore looking for gamblers.
Have you been to the Macau Gaming Show?
I have.
It sort of sounds a bit like that. And that was
busier, though. I mean, we had a stand there in 2019. All I remember is we didn't sell anything, and some of the cleaners there were stealing the bottles of alcohol off our stand when we weren't looking.
Oh, that's enterprising.
I mean, hopefully they made some good money. It was fairly decent, like blue label, black label stuff. So stick that on the roulette.
I've been to MGS a couple of times. But I think my favorite memory of MGS was, I think it might have been Novomatic. They had some really amazing, like, VIP slot chairs on their stand. And I was able to just go and nap in one of those for about 30 minutes.
Nice.
This is what I mean by a failed gaming show. If your highlight is having a nap.
It was a bad. It was one of those events where, you know, you're walking past the conference rooms and somebody is at the door trying to drag people in. And I did see somebody I know who was being physically manhandled in, and he was like, no, I'm an exhibitor. I've got it. And they were like, no, come in. It's great. It was there, and they were fucking dragging him in. I, of course, just put on my best expo face, which is, well, I'll be able to show it to you because we're on video, but unfortunately our listeners won't be able to see.
So constipated with a hint of sadness.
Basically, yes. Okay. It's kind of constipated. You're out of toilet paper, but at the moment it doesn't matter. So it's kind of, there's also, if you look at my left eyebrow, there's a little bit of optimism there as well. Yeah. If I stay constipated, this won't be so bad. And they left me alone, I'm delighted to say. And as I say, the highlight of that experience for me was, and it was a lovely seat. I've got to say, I don't know who manufactured the seat, but it was very, very comfortable. I seem to remember it may have reclined.
Oh, the new Nova ones do. I mean, my only issue with this is that the gaming shows are fun. I mean, no one's going to say they're not fun. You go to Macau. I mean, we did the bungee jump off the world's tallest bungee jump in the Macau Tower. I'm going to put inverted quotes for the podcast, but marketing reasons, which basically was just me jumping off a tower. And there's like events, there's parties, it's crazy. It's like the money spent is huge, but nothing actually really happens. It's like there aren't many senior people there. It's not ICE or IGB or anything like that. It's just sending people for the sake of sending people, and it's like a tax, really, on gambling companies. And they don't need that many. Like this year, there's like 17 different gaming shows in Eastern Europe. Which is
there,
insane.
Is there 17 countries in Eastern Europe?
I mean, some one country might have two. There's Balkans, there's Romania, Estonia, there's the Scandinavian one. I'm including the Scandinavian in Eastern Europe because, you know, I'm from the West. It's northeast. It's like Newcastle's technically Eastern Europe. There's loads of them.
There are quite a lot, and we are we're also at the stage where there are too many awards.
Oh, don't get me started on awards.
No, let's get you started on awards.
All awards are utter bullshit. All of them.
All of them.
All of them.
Are they though?
Probably not, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say nearly all of them then are. Because it's like you sponsor it, you can get one. I've shown emails on LinkedIn a year or two ago of them saying, if we sponsor an award and pay $5,000, we can pick the name of the award that we want to win.
Wow.
And we could name it. So honestly, I was tempted to do it and call myself like best banana salesman in Europe or something.
Which awards was that?
That was at the MIGEA Awards.
What's the MIGEA Awards?
The one before Sigma.
Oh, right.
I know you're saying this to bait me into probably getting sued, but I'm okay with it because I have proof.
But no, if it's true, then I'm not trying to bait anybody into getting sued. Founded and co-organized what started as the British Casino Awards and is now the European Casino Awards. And the reason that we started it was because we've been to so many really, really shit awards that were for sale.
Mm.
And so we actually just wanted to make one that wasn't anything like that. And now I'm no longer involved with it. Who knows? Maybe it's all for sale. But I do know that in the first 3 years of operating that, I think one sponsor had won one award.
It's
so their return was bad.
Some of them have to be at least half decent. Like the one for the people, iGaming Idol, that's not too bad from what I can see. I mean, I'm not biased. I won it, but I didn't pay for it. So maybe they were just being nice to me. I don't know. But it does seem fairly competent. I mean, I have a couple of issues with the judging, but apart from that, it's fairly competent.
Well, you won, you know.
Oh, no, the year after, there was some... I had some of my team complain about some of the judging that was going on. And one of them walked out the room halfway through, but I told them this already. It's more... every gaming show you go to now has an award. Like we went to SBC Barcelona and we actually were nominated for something because my head of marketing nominated us by submitting a proposal or whatever it was. And I did it and I let her do it to see what happened afterwards. And the actual answer is nothing. So I just want to know how you can give an award to the best platform, best white label company, best, I don't know, podcast without going to the podcast and seeing what they do or without looking behind the scenes or without even signing up on the site. It makes no sense. I can't even speak. It's like, I don't get how they judge like best mobile provider once. This is about 4 years ago. This is true as well. Best mobile provider once went to a company whose mobile games weren't actually live yet.
Wow.
Which was great. And then the next year someone won and their mobile games were notorious for actually not working with the overlay that was on there. They didn't resize to Samsung phones at all. So anytime they had a promotion going, the games wouldn't work. But best mobile promotion of the year, 100%.
Yeah, when you put it like that, I suppose.
It's not the Ballon d'Or, I'm going to go that far.
Well, that was a deeply flawed award.
It's basically like all awards are sponsored by FIFA is what we have right now, apart from a couple.
Mm. No, I think that's probably fair. There was one where, they had a big champagne reception at the start, which was like 7 o'clock, 7 till 7:30. So, you know, I was there for that. And I had a couple of drinks there and then sat down, and they didn't serve dinner until about 20 past 10.
Oh.
In which time I've cleared all the wine on my table, spotted that the table next to me was empty but still had wine on it, and started on theirs. And I wound up, I moonwalked on the stage, couldn't tell you if the awards were still going on at that point. And I stole my boss at the time's mobile phone, and then forgot that I'd stolen it and spent a couple of hours helping him look for it.
That's annoying. That's really annoying.
And I blame the organizers. Because, you know, you can't drink that much on an empty stomach.
No, it's true. Even SGC in Barcelona, the food came out like 2 hours after it started. The meal, the awards were starting, you had a mouthful of questionable chicken. And then the first award of God knows who has won some award for affiliate marketing or something.
Best
mouthful
chicken.
Of chicken, go on stage.
Yeah, that is harsh. When we were doing the casino awards, the British casino awards, the European casino awards, we did food and then the awards, and then everybody got to fuck off. But that was the thing. And it was actually there was our frequent guest, Roz Wade, was one of the organizers of an event in Asia that was a set of awards that were on at the same time as G2E Asia, organized by, well, Roz and Lewis, of AG Brief. And they did it really well because it was under 2 hours, the whole thing. Food, awards, fuck off.
Mm.
Perfect.
I think there's a gap in the market, though. I honestly think if Clarion booked the O2 and did a massive, like a Grammy-style gaming awards, where we invited even people who gamble in the UK, anyone, they could vote for favorite streamer, favorite game. There's an open public voting for it. I think that would sell out immediately. You could get Ed Sheeran to perform some of whatever Ed Sheeran does.
Well, yeah, maybe.
Or someone better.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody better would be. I saw one of my favorite bands at the O2. In fact, I've seen two of my favorite bands at the O2. It's a great venue.
Spice Girls.
Obviously.
Boyzone.
No, you. I saw Pearl Jam at the O2, and it's a tremendous venue. I went and found one of my favorite bands. Went and found the singer songwriter on, because so there's a chap I used to work with called Billy Chainsaw, right? When I was on the Adult Leisure magazine.
Is that his real name?
No, it's actually his pseudonym, but yeah. I'm not going to share his real name because it'd be easy to find then. There's a lot of Billy Chainsaws. There's only one Billy Holston. Anyway, and Billy's a lovely fella. And Billy used to be the PA for Susie and the Banshees, right?
Okay.
And so in terms of 80s music, he knows everybody pretty much. And Billy's he's a big guy. He's this wonderfully kind of – he's a really enthusiastic man about life. But he can be so wonderfully dismissive, and he's a Brummie as well, right? And I was sitting in my office in this Adult Leisure publication business, and I was playing a band called Flesh for Lulu, right? I've never met anybody that's even fucking heard of them. Apart from maybe some absolute hardcore John Hughes fans. So I'm sitting listening to Flesh for Lulu. Billy comes in, he goes, "Yo, listening to Flesh for Lulu?" "Yeah, you heard of them?" He said, "Heard of him. I saw Rocco in the pub last night. He's a twat." So you know him, anyway, I look in Billy's Facebook connections to see if he knows if he's got any of the band in there, and he hasn't. I'm thinking, oh, he must think they're twice. But I thought, I'll just go, and I went and I had a look for the singer songwriter guy called Nick Marsh, and I found him, and I sent him a message just saying, "You're still like my go-to, you guys and Bark of my go-to music for working to, right?" And, you know, just thanks. I've been listening to you guys for like 25 odd years at that point, and just want to say thank you. And he came back. We had a really, really nice conversation on Messenger. And he messaged me a while later, and it just said, we're doing a gig at the O2. Come along, say hello. I'm like, obviously.
Thank you.
But have you ever seen the movie Josie and the Pussycats?
No.
It's a deeply undervalued movie, right? It's a very good satire on the commercial globalized world. But it starts off and you've got the band against these colored backdrops and they're absolutely rocking out and they're just giving it some. And then the background kind of becomes where they actually are and the camera pulls back and they're playing a gig in a bowling alley while the bowling is still going on and there's nobody watching them at all. And it emerged that Flesh for Lulu were not playing the O2. They were playing at the Hollywood Bowl in the O2. And it is still one of my very, very favorite concert tickets because I've got it. It's on my notice board next to me. It says Hollywood Bowl at the O2, Flesh for Lulu, bowling not included.
Nice.
Sorry, it took a long way to get nowhere, didn't I?
That was a long setup.
Sorry about that. But yeah, the O2 is a great venue. I'm not sure it'd sell out. It probably would if you had Ed Sheeran playing.
I reckon Barker would sell out the O2 if he was still around. It might be difficult.
Who?
Bark. You just said you listened to Bark.
Oh yeah, sorry. I thought you meant the other Bark.
As in the dog.
Yeah.
Ah.
But yeah, Bark probably would. I would. Pablo Casals would. I think if Casals was doing Bach's suites for cello and violoncello, I would be front row and I'd be moshing the fuck out of it.
I'm a big fan of cello music.
Me too.
That's the only reason why Wednesday is a good show.
I haven't seen Wednesday, but I do listen to a lot of cello music.
No, Wednesday's actually quite good, but there's a cover of, what is it, Painted Black, Rolling Stones in there, and then one of the Four Seasons movements by Vivaldi, done on only cello, which is impressive. This has taken a turn, this podcast.
Really has.
I'm going to do a LinkedIn post about cellos now for the next month.
I've long thought, you know, if I were to like meet the perfect woman at some point in my life, which obviously, you know, in Prestige, bound to happen.
She's a cellist.
I have to be a cellist. It would just be the ultimate foreplay.
Yo-yo practicing her fingering.
Fenton.
Sorry, that's my only cello joke. That's all I got.
Should be good at handling wood. I can't think of two anymore.
I can't think of any, and I've got a filthy mind. I'll come back to that. I'll let it germinate. So what was his next prediction?
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna skip. So we talked about esports.
Oh, no.
I'm here. My Wi-Fi's a bit dodgy. Yeah, like, it's not going to take off. I think we can all agree on that. Let's jump to Real Money Social Casinos. So Real Money Social Casinos will start to have issues. The money invested in them will dry up.
I mean, you see more and more, especially if you troll around LinkedIn, you'll see everyone is pushing, like, chat to each other while you're playing joint bullets with a casino streamer. What else is there? Like, spin together. There's all kinds of different stuff you can do. There's even, like, casinos started up just for that, like spins.com, something like that. The problem is that all the people who watch casino streams are generally... I mean, this might offend some people. I'm sorry if it does, but they're generally poor because they're not gambling themselves. So no one's watching that thinking, you know what? I don't gamble. I don't care. I'm just going to watch someone else do it for 8 hours. It's stupid. And all of these people doing kind of joint bullets together are not actually depositing that much money. And generally, gambling is quite a introverted thing to do. You don't see people getting together to play slots or doing it down the pub or anything. The guy stood on the bandit in the corner, the one-armed bandit in the corner of the pub playing is not often surrounded by a group of people. It's just like a socially awkward thing. It's a bit taboo still. And if you look at the comments on any post about how much Bet365 woman earns, they all hate gambling, the majority of the public. I just see it as not making enough money to sustain any kind of profitability, unless it's a marketing gimmick. And there's a lot of companies out there doing it now.
Does it have the possibility of growing the pie? So even if it's kind of their lower value, it's more kind of tourists, want for a better word, or low value deposits.
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay? But then there's like, it's an extra couple of million casino players that wouldn't be playing casino, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you'll get a few, but it's like Drake is streaming casino games and that man gets hundreds of thousands of views. I don't see how it adds value.
Maybe it's a way to start them young.
Not sure that's what we really want to be pushing for in the gambling industry. Hey, kids, with social media fans.
I've got to be honest with you, I don't see the point unless it's solely as a testbed for pay-to-play to be launched to just test out how players actually engage with it. Then I see the point. But, as you know, it's a really dull hobby.
It is. But, I mean, there's people that do it for free on, like, Facebook and stuff. Then, sure. But now there's actual real money casinos where you do have this social element. And people will chat to each other a bit. People will watch things. People will watch the in-house streamers. But at the end of the day, is that really paying for itself with the money that you're getting in when you still have to pay the affiliate cost, the payment cost, the game cost? I don't see it as becoming profitable enough for it to be even commonplace in the market, because we don't, but you see a lot of casinos struggle to even get gamification live, like creating tournaments for their players. Like, we're lucky we have a system called Unibo, which actually works really well. But you see people create their own, which fails. You see them like buying into big businesses to get tournament tools and big win tools and stuff. And it just doesn't work because people don't care. Like, people care about a bonus, a cashback, and the fact that they get paid out quickly. That's it. I think 98% of the market is that way inclined. And the 2% of the market that wants social and streamers are just the most vocal because they're the ones we see, because they're the ones that could be bothered to type words onto the internet.
That's pretty much point.
And I think that's, we're actually targeting 18 to 23 year old people who don't have a job. Like, we all, I mean, I'm not going to go off you guys, but we're probably all over 25 ish maybe. And
John's when so offended.
All right, over 23. When we were, like, your parents would probably try to murder you if you said, what do you want to do for a job? I want to make TikTok videos, which is what everybody wants to do nowadays, that people aren't actually getting involved in anything that will earn them money for a long period of time. It's just all get-rich-quick, do-no-work schemes, which I think is what we're targeting with some of these casinos. That's just my opinion. Just to put that out there so I don't get sued. But yeah, it's, I don't get it. I don't get the value.
Got it.
Fair enough. And
is it one of those, like, particularly with like slots tournaments and these kind of things, is it one of those things where you've got a casino marketing manager who has to do something, and a slots tournament is just a good way to fill a hole of activity to look busy?
Yeah, like the big casinos, for example, would be focused on how many new depositing customers they can get. They won't be as focused on how much revenue those customers earn over a certain period of time.
Hmm.
So I think that the focus on NDCs is quite high, and that's why we see stuff like Genesis happen, where they closed down basically because they're not making any money, because they were getting a lot of players, but they weren't converting them into long-term players.
Phil, I believe we may be having a technical issue here. If you look at the audio lines at the bottom of the screen,
yes.
Fenton is not even flatlining.
He's not. He's gone.
He may have died.
I am here.
Oh, he is here.
Oh, no, I can hear him, but there is no line there. It's not recognizing that you're there.
Do we need a line? It's not like a... We can just trust he's there.
Honestly, I don't know.
I've got a dot now on the screen where he should be.
I've just done that. I can see my light. I just switched his video off.
I can see
you
my
can
line.
You can see your line.
Yeah.
I see it as yellow dot. User is experiencing some connection issues.
Yeah, but recording is being saved locally. So let's just crack on and assume that all is well. And I'll make a little note. 37.
To go back and edit this out.
37. Cut that.
We'll leave it in for a laugh.
Shit. No, Fintan gets a bit,
He's left worse in. Yeah. I was recording from a hotel one day and they knocked on the door about something and John left the entire conversation in. So I'm really glad I was nice to the housekeeper.
Made me laugh, you know. I don't think he'd be so nice now. He's a lot more important now than he was then.
Same as Gotham, yeah. He doesn't tip anymore. He's got to the stage where tipping is not required.
Yeah, and basically now he's so successful, he thinks that poverty only exists because of laziness.
I mean, that's also the reason why YouTube exists, though, really.
I think what happens to some people when they encounter success is that possibly there's a chemical reaction in this. If any researchers are listening, I think there's a study waiting to happen here. I think they basically become conservatives.
How has this turned into a Fintan bashing thing? What the fuck?
I'm not bad. I'm just listening.
That turned Fintan, on a dime.
we have North American listeners. So that's not conservative in the North American sense. It's what the British call Tories, just for the record.
What is that in North America?
I don't know. I get confused by all their terms.
Republican. It'd be Republican.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. It's low tax, low government, high independence.
Donald Trump is a conservative?
Yeah. He's a Tory.
Crikey. It's a big thing to learn today, isn't it?
It's just about Plaid Cymru, everything's good.
For any listeners out there who aren't Welsh, just pretend you didn't hear that.
I can summarise it as Plaid Cymru is the national party that no one cares about, nor will ever get power.
I think, yeah, and I've mentioned I do live in Wales. I think the MP for my county is conservative.
Makes a lot of sense.
It does, yeah. That'd be why the air ambulance was going begging door to door the other day.
Yeah. There's no mines anywhere near you, I guess.
No. Luckily.
Yeah, if there's a mine, it's Labour. If there's no mine, it's probably conservative.
There's not much of anything near me, though. I did have an incident where I needed an ambulance a few months back. And the waiting time for the ambulance was, they estimated, 4 to 6 hours.
Nice.
On the condition that nothing else happened in between where somebody could die. And I was like, well, I'm pretty sure I'll be dead by then, so.
Don't worry about it.
So let's not stress.
I'll look after myself.
Yeah, I'll drive in. Good times. So Fintan sent me the link to your post, and I may have lost it. I haven't lost it. I've got it. It's here. But no, that wasn't what I was going to do. No, it was just done that one.
I mean, talking to others,
just
more.
Done that one. There's loads, and one of them has like a B.
That was the one we just talked about, 5 and 5B, where I said basically someone would close down because it's not working very well.
Six is related. At least one of the companies in this field will start to decline dramatically, if not fail.
That's ballsy prediction, but we'll see.
Ballsy's naming them. Who's going to fail?
That's the problem. There's too many to know because I don't know the numbers, but I'd say one of them. I mean, I can repost it in 6 months with a name, but I mean, already Genesis happening is 10% of that coming true. So we'll see.
Okay.
I hope I'm wrong because, you know, jobs important.
Finland will get their regulation plans correct.
Yeah, this is probably the bravest one.
It does seem pretty brave. Do you think they're looking at sort of Sweden and thinking?
Yeah, I mean, that with Sweden's not that bad. Like the targeting rules are okay. The tax is fine. Their rules is just resolving around the monopoly and payments. If they fix those two and use an easier-ish framework that's actually stable from the beginning, not keep voting on it every 6 months, they should be okay. I don't think that many people are slagging off the Swedish regulation too much, but I'm hoping they just iron out the problems with that one and just go, yeah, here you go. Here's our regulation. And companies will rejoice because then all of them can sign up for it, not just the big ones. Because it's only the big ones that can take all of them, which is why they make all of the money.
Hmm.
Which they then waste on social gaming.
And the world continues to revolve.
Yeah, everybody pays tax. It's easier if the world just has the same damn specifications. Everybody follows them, and then each country picks whatever tax they want. That would solve every problem in the world.
Every problem?
I mean, with that tax money, we could probably solve global warming.
Would anybody buy my bike off eBay? Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. I mean, if people have more money from tax income, then yeah, your bike would sell faster.
Let me just see if I've got any watchers.
I'm going to quickly log in.
Number eight.
His OnlyFans is off to a slow start.
Hey, it's got three watchers.
Well, your OnlyFans has.
Yeah, feet pics. That's what you need to do, mate. Take pictures of your feet. That's where the money's at.
Feet pics are everywhere.
Yeah, that's where the money's at.
Well, it'd be big with Lord of the Rings fans.
Wee.
So, number eight, Curacao will get their regulation plans wrong. Now, we had Frank on a while ago, and Curacao came up in that conversation. Frank upped the word from casinonews.nl. And Frank was saying that I'm sure he said Curacao would have to adopt the same, would have to adopt the EU AML policy because of its relationship with Netherlands.
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty interesting, but I mean, has everything else been in line with Netherlands and what they've had to do? I don't think it has been. And
God, no.
I think Fintan joked a while ago that you could just get a Curacao license from a cereal box.
Not a cereal box. It's an expensive cereal box. It costs about 30K, 40K to do it properly, to get a company and a bank and everything. It's the banking that's hardest. But Curacao does generally, in the past, whatever they want. Like, just consider it to like a modern day teenager.
Okay, like
it's down the pub. It's taking whatever it wants to take. It might pay you out. It might pay your money back. Who knows? They want to make it strict, but not too strict. I think their plan is to copy some of the MGA framework, which is fine. The MGA is decent, but it depends how they go with. Because Curacao is known for grey markets, so. Countries which don't have regulation or whose regulation isn't that great. And Curacao's only selling point is that. So if you want to keep that, that's the reason why people will continue to get the license, because shockingly, there is not that many people that live in Curacao that want to gamble.
What?
I know. I honestly thought it had like 50 million people. Turns out it's just this very small island in the Caribbean.
No way.
Yes, absolutely mind-blowing.
Where the cow's milk is blue, as we definitely established with Frank.
All Curacao drinks are known to be blue. Only blue Gatorade and whatever drink you had, that cow's milk, is available for sale.
The Romulans in Star Trek.
I figured there was going to be a Romulan thing coming in.
They were, in fact, based on Curacao.
Yeah, 100% is where it's filmed. The J.J. Abrams one where everyone needs to be blue was all filmed in Curacao.
See, Avatar obviously was filmed there.
Avatar's just a documentary about Curacao.
True.
James Cameron is scamming us.
If you look at the credits of Avatar, you'll find that it's the same crew as does all the BBC's natural history stuff.
Yeah, Avatar 3 in 2024 is just all about online gambling and how the regulation's going to change the home people.
Exactly. I knew you'd understand. And also, obviously, all of the children in Curaçao grow up learning about the Smurfs.
I've got to say,
so Curaçao are going to get their regulation plans wrong then.
Yeah.
How?
They'll go too strict. I think they're going to go too strict and wipe out some of their market. And I think people will then go to even more offshore places like Costa Rica, which is more onshore technically, and Kaniwaki, which doesn't really exist.
I think Guam is just waiting to happen in this respect.
A Tuvalu gaming license.
But think about Guam in terms of its domestic market. Its domestic market is potentially quite significant.
Because of the US?
Exactly.
I'm good at geography. Yeah. Plus you could get all of the US Army.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking you've got people on an island with money and not a lot to do with it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Sunbathing in online slots?
Basically.
I might go to Guam. I might do some research on this. Go to Guam, which is, I think, near Hawaii.
It's not near anything. It's incredibly isolated. I believe the US is the only the big sort of employer. It has massive input. The army base has massive input into the local economy.
I mean, if you could target all the armies in the world with online gambling, you would make a fortune, because what else do they spend their money on when they're abroad? Everything's free. Target some nice little sports betting or something in the Afghanistanian market.
If only I knew somebody that could supply me with the kind of casino that could target those people.
I mean, I would risk wasting my time
talking to a fucking banana importer.
I know. White label bananas.
They're the worst.
That is the backup business plan, by the way, if this fails. Beach bananas in Malta. I think you'd make a killing.
Especially if they were chilled.
How many times have you been sat on the beach thinking, I'd love some potassium?
I'd love a chilled banana.
Exactly. €1, job done.
You might have something there.
Oh, 100% have something there. I took some bananas to the beach once and people stole them. That was my theory to this.
Would you open the bananas for them? Would you pass them an opened banana? So they're getting a little bit of service as well.
I mean, for a tip, you could open it. You could even try and like spice it up a bit. I'm not sure you could do toppings.
Yeah, but you're becoming a dessert company then.
No, just stick some hundreds and thousands on the banana. It's not.
It still becomes a dessert. As soon as you put it through that process, it's a dessert.
You'd want to keep the banana closed. Sorry,
upcharge.
You'd keep it closed so you don't get sand on it.
For your €1, because €1, it's quite a lot for a banana. If you're buying it in a supermarket, you see it's €1, you'd be like, how much? If you're on a beach, there's the convenience, there's the delivery costs, etc. But I think if you just pop the top, you know?
I like it.
It's service.
Bananas with a twist.
You could definitely sell those as well.
Hmm. I think Fintan's given up on whatever we're talking about.
Well, Fintan, he disappeared and then he logged back in. So God knows what's going on there. Maybe he can hear us. Maybe he can't. It's anybody's guess. So the US market starts to see casualties. Mass expansion and bonus abuse will trigger a lot of worried executives. Casualties in what respect? You mean companies falling by the wayside?
Yeah, I mean, either that or actual deaths, but I think probably more companies falling by the wayside. I mean, last year we were offered, I'm not going to say friends, but I met some people at ICE that work for the Bank of America who told me about upcoming gaming company closures, and they were both very, very accurate about lottery and Maxim as well. So yeah, I mean, they can see what's happening. I think the level of bonus abuse, if you look on LinkedIn, the guys that make Greco, the bonus abuse checking system, they post a lot about the US, and the levels of bonus abuse you can go to there are crazy high. And the tax on the companies offering gambling services is anywhere up to 53% or something on your profit. How are they making money, first of all? So I think the mass expedition towards the US is resulting in less profit to go around than people thought, and also the markets being less profitable than people thought.
Because but one of the interesting things about that cost of player acquisition, which is crazy high, as we found out when we had iGaming tax expert John Holden from the University of Ohio, I think, we were having a conversation about, and it still blows my mind, how some states had built into their regulations that you could write your marketing costs off against tax.
Clever.
Kind of.
I mean, that explains why DraftKings is spending €1 billion a year on gambling marketing.
It does explain some. I mean, it certainly explains why why that sort of price war has become, why it's escalated so much, you know, and it's not simply come down to the deepest, well, it's not as simple as the deepest pocket wins kind of thing. I mean, it will be eventually, but.
Not for sure. But you see it here, you see it everywhere. It's like, if you look at the actual P&L of the companies and cash flow, none of them make a profit, but they're all valued at $4 bazillion or whatever it is. Even look of, hey, someone like, I don't know, like Gig, for example, their net loss each quarter is always negative, mostly. But they're valued at a crazy high valuation. It's like they do whatever they can with money they're borrowing to increase the size of the business for no apparent reason, obviously, apart from valuation. But then it's always continuously spent on marketing. Whereas if you're a private company, obviously you need to be making profit, which is why it's going to be very tricky for some of the smaller companies without partnering up with the bigger ones to even start to crack the country. So I think you're just going to see the big MGM, LeoVegas deals happening, which just continuously kind of control the market in a way. I might sound stupid for saying that, but that's my belief.
Well, we'll find out.
Let's have to review the predictions in a year.
Now, prediction number 10.
I did
not 10. A single rich person or company will give a nice contribution to my charity fundraising for the MSPCA.
Yeah.
What is the MSPCA?
That is the, as opposed to the RSPCA that you're aware of, the Royal Society for the Protection of Cruelty to Animals, that is the Malta Society for the Protection of Cruelty to Animals. And Malta has a problem, but it's got a lot of animal neglect. So there's a lot of strays, a lot of dogs are abandoned on the sides of roads, chained to railings and stuff. They take them in, house them, home them, and then once they are healthy and vaccinated, etc., they are sent to homes with people who really want an animal and are of the nice people that don't pay for their animals, because paying for an animal is a bit wrong. So they are, given. I mean, when we were there, I did a birthday kind of fundraiser for them, raised about €6,000, went down and took it and got to meet the animals and the people, and it was super cool. Like they had some like really expensive breeds there that they were just waiting to go even to a different country, to a family that was paying for the shipping and looking after the dogs the right way. So they do proper checks and everything. But they are kind of limited on space, so I'm raising money for them, or trying to raise money throughout the year, doing various different things to expand their base of operations with more kennels and more space, and then open up a daycare center so they can look after people's dogs while they work in Valletta.
Ah, so reduce the number of dogs that are abandoned.
Exactly. That's the plan.
That's very, very practical, very sensible.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really pushed it yet, but we have some fundraising stuff coming in the year. We're going to do giveaways, tournaments. I'm going to do a gambling-based thing, going to collect money at ICE. But yeah, my point is that no big companies...
walk around ICE with a bucket.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's fair.
But put it on the stand, because we give away a lot of trips on the stand. So we have like this... I called it the target wall, because I invented it while throwing balls at the HR window to try and distract them from a call they were on. As why not? Because, you know, it's HR. And then thought, if I put a target on this wall, this game would be more fun. And then thought, if I did this at ICE and let people do it, no one actually does anything analog. It's all digital games. It's all like slots or, I don't know, punch this as hard as you can. I thought, if it's an actual circus fair style competition, we could do it. So we give away trips. So we're giving away a trip to Egypt this year to actually get a private tour of the pyramids, along with a Nile cruise and a lot of kind of people safety. And second prize is an iPad, because we needed something. We didn't have that much money left. So yeah, so people that turn up for that, they might have £2 in their pocket. They might put it in a jar, and then I will 100% give that money to charity.
Nice. What's your link to the MSPCA? Why do you feel the need to do this?
Because people in Malta, I mean, you don't see homelessness here. You don't see anything really that bad. All iGaming jobs are paid, I mean, respectfully to everyone in the iGaming industry, but probably overpaid. Like, if you go from sales, I used to work in sales in the UK for a big software company that built accountancy software. And the wage for a senior salesperson there is less than it is for an entry-level BD business development person in Malta, which is crazy. Also, oh, dog. Hello.
How did he even get through there?
Oh, he crawled through the table sideways. It was like a thing of beauty.
Yeah, so the dog's come to say hi.
He should host instead of Vincent, because Vincent's not really putting the work in today.
He's not, is he?
Disappointing. I went down there. My partner knows the kind of board of them who raise all the money for charity and everything. But to see it, it's like they can do so much more to help, and they already do a lot. Like when I was there, they were nursing two pretty much almost dead kittens back to health. And then 2 weeks ago, I think they actually went to the home and they looked incredible. It's like the work they do is really, really good. So as people don't really need much help over here, animals are the ones that get mistreated and abandoned. So it kind of breaks your heart a little bit when you see it. So, yeah, someone doing something for that I thought was needed. And the sad thing is that a lot of people don't donate to this kind of stuff. I mean, I made $6,000 last year, but that took a long time. So I was hoping my reach on the platform of LinkedIn would actually help generate more income, and there's a lot of nice people who will share and do the post and everything. But the plan is to host a couple of events, like a quiz night and a casino night, do a couple of online casino streams for charity, that kind of thing.
That sounds good.
Thanks.
Sorry, but the dog is distracting me.
Oh, he heard I was talking about this and he was like, I care about this.
Yeah, I care about the other dogs.
Mm.
He doesn't give a fuck about him. He's a terrible dog.
He wants to go out.
No, he wants me to stroke him with this arm now.
Oh, okay.
He's not daft. He knows how many hands I've got.
I wish this was a video podcast.
Yeah. Good. So, yeah, my dog Farley just came to say hi. I'm just going to, Farley, go on. Go do dog things. Go do dog stuff. Go on then. Yeah, he can't work out how he got in.
It's like he's watching evolution happen live.
You're watching it go backwards.
Yeah. He got in fine. He can't get out.
He's pretending he doesn't know how to get out.
Yeah,
that's the trick.
He's just going to lie there now. He's given up.
He's trapped.
Yeah, he's trapped. I'll do whatever I like to. I'm going to set him on fire in a minute.
Hey.
I'm not actually going to, because I'm in Wales, which is covered by the RSPCA, and nobody wants to anger the royals. We've seen how that turns out on Netflix.
Can't wait.
Well, I haven't seen it because I don't care. But I gather somebody's been pissing and moaning about their treatment during their life of immense privilege. So Fintan, he has got, I just got a message from him. He says he's getting every second word. So I reassured him that those were the good ones.
Hmm.
But if anybody is wanting to donate to the MSPCA, and I know that we do have a lot of people from iGaming companies listening, then, well, you know, Phil Pearson of whitelabelcasinos.com is your man. Because what you can do if you're going to donate, or if you want to donate via Phil, is you can probably propose some really outlandish shit for him to do.
Oh, 100%. I will do outlandish shit.
We've got that there in writing, essentially. It's verbal contracts, not worth the paper it's written on.
It's binding.
So it's fully binding as per Maltese law. You know, it's not your crappy Gibraltar law where all your witnesses are masturbating monkeys. It's not your Isle of Man law where your witnesses are all cats with no tails. This is the real thing. This is Maltese.
Or upside down motorcyclists. But yeah, agreed. Maltese law is 100%. One of the most sturdy laws in the world. So,
I bet.
No, I would happily do outlandish stuff. I would do something heavily adventurous, or I would sell myself out and my questionable writing skills for someone.
Writing skills. I've got some of those. I've been trying to pimp my writing skills. Nobody's buying, I tell you.
I get some offers, but they're all quite bad.
Probably not as bad as the ones I'm... Oh, hang on. The dog's going for it again.
He's made it. I think I got 500 euros is the best one for a post.
Okay. Interesting.
Said no. I don't sell myself out unless it's for charity.
My old publisher, they used to do those pinned posts, and I talked to them about why they shouldn't do it, and they were just like, yeah, but, you know, it's money.
It is money. But, no, I mean... For charity, maybe. But I will make a joke that I've only done it for charity.
It's fair. It's very fair.
Do anything. Whatever helps get the money in. I'm trying to raise 100K. Never going to happen, but I have lofty dreams.
Well, are you counting last year's 6K already?
No, that was separate. I don't think I'll get close. I think I can probably get halfway, which is, I think,
pretty friggin' respectable.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm doing just general donations at the moment, but we're doing, what have we got? We're doing a giveaway in March, so anyone who's donated gets tickets to win. What do we have so far? I get these gifts given from the nice providers that we have. We have a PS5, hard to get, 1,000 euros of Amazon vouchers, a bottle of Dom Perignon exclusive something, like 400 euros champagne. We were going to do a date with my head of payments, Steve, but Steve aged a bit, so we can't really do that anymore. It's just this health risk to send him out in the cold now. So I think we're skipping that one. We'll find something else.
I wonder if we can do something.
A date maybe with Fintan, but he'll only turn up for half of it and hear every other word.
Yeah, he'll only turn up for half of it, and then he'll have technology issues.
My phone keeps going on.
He's moved office, and his new office has appalling Wi-Fi. So I'm not sure what he's paying around. He's in Amsterdam.
Ah, okay.
Notorious hotbed of poor technology, I guess.
Not as far as I know from when I was there.
If only he was in Curacao, he'd be fine.
Absolutely. With their VFX and everything would be blue, it'd be like a dream.
Everything. And he'd be riding a winged beast to work.
Did you see the new Avatar movie?
No, I didn't see the old one either.
Oh, okay. Not bad. Good? Yeah, they were right. Yeah. The visually amazing. Story-wise, it's Dances with Wolves written for blue people, but it's okay.
Yeah, it just didn't really... I mean, there was a time when I would watch James Cameron's movies, but it was a while ago. Yeah, The Abyss was interesting. Terminator 2 was fun.
Aliens.
Obviously Aliens, but I think his best movie is still The Terminator. It's a fabulous film. I was listening, weirdly, I've been listening to Rob Lowe's podcast recently. And it turns out, and I was quite surprised to find this, but Robert, he keeps saying it, his best mate is Bill Paxton.
Everybody loves Bill Paxton.
Well, yeah, but I didn't know Rob Lowe did. And it just seems like such a mismatch.
I thought Rob Lowe's best friend would be like an 18-year-old.
Well, no, you see, that video that you're talking about, that you're alluding to, I was reading about this last night because I remember the story at the time. But actually, the state that he was in, he was having relations with two ladies, one of whom turned out to be 16. But the legal age in the state that he was in was 14. So he was breaking no laws, except that it was videotaped. And I can't remember if it was videotaped by him or them. And the legal age for videotaping was 18. It's a complicated country, isn't it?
The legal age in one of the US states is 14.
Yeah, I don't know whether it still is in that state, but at that time it was, yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
The register there will be a lot shorter than the ones in the other states.
Well, maybe they just mature faster in that state. I can't remember what the state was, but...
It's crucial. There's something in the water.
That's it. It's the blue, which is a key ingredient.
Jesus Christ.
Maybe we could donate an appearance on the podcast. I mean, it's not like it actually has any value.
maybe I'll sell something out of this. I mean, you get viewers.
I'll talk to Fintan when his technology, you know, reasserts itself.
I'm not here to sell. I'm here to have a good time.
But I'm sure that Fintan and I can donate something to your very worthy cause.
Even a prize. Even if you have something for free knocking around that you don't want.
Well, we do. We've got an appearance on the podcast that somebody can have.
There we go.
That can be our given prize.
Come on the podcast and sell your questionable stuff.
Yeah, basically. So, you know, if there's any real scum listening and nobody else will take your dollars, get into Phil's auction and you can come on the podcast.
Love it.
You don't have to be scum, though.
Be more fun if it was.
I couldn't possibly comment. But we don't judge people on this podcast. Apart from each other, we judge each other quite harshly. But anyway. So, Fintan, I don't know if you can still hear, but I'm going to wrap things up now. Phil, thank you for joining us. Thank you very, very much for joining us. I would like to do a recap and see exactly how your predictions turned out.
We can do this yearly if you want. I can write more questionable predictions in 2024, I want to say.
It would be 2024, or it would be before 2024.
I'm 38 now. I lose track of the years.
38.
Old.
Jesus fuck.
It's Malta. You age twice as fast here, the sun.
I knew that I was the oldest person on this podcast recording. And
but you don't look it, though.
Well, yeah, but that's just a fuzzy camera.
Ah, fair.
And the fact that I shaved my head.
Always helps. Matt Lucas is actually 97.
True story. If you walk behind him, now he's got security working behind him. You can't actually walk behind him. They block you off. But he's got a rubber band on the back of his head.
Just pulling his breath back.
Yeah, essentially, if you look at the back of his head, it looks like he's growing a new John Gielgud.
Jesus. I don't even know if I want to Google this to check if it's true.
True story. Yeah. It does make me remember that there's a Simpsons episode. There's a couple of Simpsons episodes where Homer loses loads of weight. And there's one where he puts massive like hair grips on his back to pull the skin tight. But I just remember the one where he comes home. He's been going to the gym every night, and one day Marge like notices and he's like super buff. She puts her arms around him. And she goes, "What's that?" And he just looks at her and goes, "Your other hand."
Oh,
one of my all-time favorite Simpsons jokes.
I'm gonna need to try the hair clip thing next time I have to wear a tuxedo for anything.
Hang on though, you're British in origin, so it's a dinner jacket, not a tuxedo.
I spent too long here. My mum would kill me. She used to sell and make wedding dresses, so I'm gonna be in trouble if she ever listens to this, which is highly unlikely.
My ex-wife was in that business as well.
Oh yeah?
Hmm.
Not in North Wales by any chance?
No, she was in Ludlow. Tough business. Tough business. I say it's tough business. I never really saw her do it. But like I say, on this podcast, we don't judge people just because they don't ever do anything.
Laziness breeds efficiency.
Yeah, I'm not sure your slogan generator is working.
No, I actually believe that one. I don't think it's a slogan. I think I'm quite lazy sometimes, so I can think of the best way to do something quickly in order to then be lazier more often.
Yeah, but that's not the same as not doing something.
No, that's just ineptitude.
Oh, it's just laziness.
Yeah, I mean, some people are just shit.
I could not possibly comment.
But that's, I did that's say the tagline for the podcast. Some people are just shit.
No, we've got a new tagline actually. Another podcast was they put their thing in and it said more content, less waffles. So we're more waffle, less content.
That's true, because we actually haven't discussed all that much, which I'm okay with. It's probably going to be my most well received.
But see, sometimes there's nothing wrong with just having a chat about industry stuff.
No, for sure.
And now people know about me going to see Flesh for Lulu in a bowling alley. Everybody wins.
I honestly feel like
chicken tonight.
That is actually what is going to be for dinner later. Chicken with the cheesy mashed potatoes and peas and carrots with the gravy.
Blown my own
what
mind.
A story.
Blown. Phil, thank you for joining us. Much appreciated.
Thank you so much.
If you've enjoyed this episode of the Gambling Files podcast, please find us on LinkedIn. Give us a big, juicy, succulent like. That nearly went wrong. You can find us under the name The Gambling Files Podcast. You can find us on Twitter under The Gambling Files. I think the handle is just at Gambling Files. You can connect to myself, John Bruford, or Fintan Costello, also on LinkedIn. We're also both on Twitter. And you can find all of our previous episodes at www.thegamblingfiles.com. If you enjoyed it, please share, tell your friends, tell your family, tell your colleagues, and we'll see you next time.